The book of Proverbs, chapter 26, and the title of our thought tonight is Hurting People Hurt People. Hurting people hurt people. Two articles in the Baptist Voice give us some thought for tonight's message. One by Paul Chappell, founding pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in the Antelope Valley there in California, and the other by R.B. Ouellette, founding pastor of the First Baptist Church of Bridgeport, one of the largest Baptist churches in our state, have some interesting thoughts about the topic of criticism. And some of you may live with a critical person. And God forbid, but some of you may be that critical person. Proverbs chapter 26, beginning at verse 4 and verse 5. And it says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." And then the very next verse says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening realizing that there are times in which differing opinions does not truly mean criticism as such, but the fact that people have differing opinions. But Lord, we know that there are critics, and we know that Jesus Christ was criticized for most of his ministry. We ask, Lord, now that you'd have your hand upon us as we look into these thoughts. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. If at first read it seems clear that the Bible is giving us contradictory thoughts, answer not a fool or answer a fool, it would seem that the Bible is telling us that there are times when we should answer fools and times when we should not bother. Brother Chappell states that hurting people hurt people. One day, many years ago, I was in the church office with my mother when the church phone rang, and my dad, who as you know, loves to talk on the telephone, I'd be glad to give you his phone number, and he will be glad to talk to you. But he answered the phone, and when he did so, he called out the person's name. And my mother, upon hearing that name, said to me, "I wish your dad would not talk to that man. He is without a doubt the most critical person I know." Now that's a pretty bad testimony, isn't it? The man was a pastor of another Baptist church. And he was a hurting man. He had suffered greatly when an issue came up at his church concerning what time a wedding was going to take place on a Saturday. The bride and the mother wanted it at 6 p.m. with a reception to follow in the church fellowship hall. And the pastor said no, that would be too late as he would have to clean up following the wedding and the reception. And he said 1 o'clock would be the latest he was willing to do the wedding. Well, you've got the bride and the bride's mother, and you have the pastor. And you have what? Well, you have people choosing sides. And before the proverbial dust settled, the pastor had lost over half his church. He went from a church that occasionally had 300 in a Sunday morning service to running 100 to 125 people. Let's reread verses 4 and 5. "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." An old Chinese proverb states, "A bulldog can whip a skunk at any time, but it's not worth the fight." Brother Lakin, B.R. Lakin, used to say, "The way to avoid criticism is to have nothing, be nothing, and do nothing." And that's about the only way. Brother Chapel again says, being attacked hurts, especially when you know the attacks are untrue, distorted, and or unfair. The fact of the matter is, to the critic, facts don't matter. It's only their opinion that matters. He continues, these attacks come from three different directions: a hateful world, carnal Christians, jealous individuals. Again, a hateful world, carnal Christians, jealous individuals. Criticism. You know, just because someone has a different opinion doesn't mean they are being nasty. It just means they may have a different opinion. But sometimes criticism is an attack. The attitude is, I'm going to take you down. Brother Ouellette gives us four different types of critics. I hope that none of these describes you. Would you agree? We don't want any of them to describe us. Before I give you the four thoughts, the sad thing about those who are critical is that they would say that they are not critical, even though they never have anything good to say. And we probably have all known someone or someone's like this. And remember this, if they are critical about someone to you, you know they are critical about you to someone else. And it's just simply the way it is. Number one, complaining critics. Complaining critics. Jesus had to deal with these type of people his whole ministry. His whole ministry. Complaining critics can also be called cranky critics. Cranky. They are always unhappy with everything. Have you ever noticed that? That some people are always unhappy? These people exist in every part of the world and are in every church. They are unhappy with their mate, their children's playmates, their children's teachers, with the amount of money they have, the church they attend, the house they live in, their cars, and life in general. Three things can be often found in their lives: jealousy, bitterness, resentment. Now, these are things that all of us have to deal with: jealousy, bitterness, and resentment. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." That's the first critic. Then there's the casual critic. The casual critic. Now, I don't know if Brother Ouellette had these people at his church there in Bridgeport, but he comes across with the second one. And he states that these are people with whom you have little or no relationship, and yet they presume to tell you how to do your business. You ever met anybody like that? That they want to tell you how to live? Absolutely. A number of years ago, my wife and I were given some money. Isn't it nice when someone gives you some money? And so we added some money to that which was given, and we went to Holmes County, Ohio. Now, do you know what's in Holmes County, Ohio? The Amish are there, and the Amish have good furniture that they make. And so my wife and I had been married at that time for over 30 years, and we had never bought new bedroom furniture. In fact, the first bedroom furniture we had, I bought from my boss at the Arlington Public Schools. And before we left, we sold that to some friends. Did we sell it to Linda Foster and her new husband? I think so. And we sold it. And when we got here to Michigan, I don't know, we got some hand-me-down from somebody. And through the years, we had had hand-me-down furniture. And so we decided that we were going to take a short trip there to Berlin, Ohio, and that surrounding area. And to make a long story short, we visited a number of stores there specializing in Amish-made furniture. We found what we wanted, but we wanted another place to make it. And so we returned to the place we wanted to have make it, and they said, oh, we make that furniture for that store also. So they were able to make what we wanted, and we brought it home, or we didn't bring it home. It was brought to us. and it was brought to us. And a while later, we had some company that was coming to our house, and I told Donna, I said, don't take, and I named her name, I said, do not take her in to see the furniture. I said, don't do it. Did she listen to me? She did not. She thought it only fair that this person should see our new furniture. Afterwards, I said to Donna, I said, what'd she have to say? And she said she didn't like it. Blah, 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 blah. You know, there are just some people, it doesn't matter what you do, they don't like it. Remember this. Most of the defenses we make against casual critics merely provides them with more ammunition to attack you. Proverbs 1:19-71 says, it was good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Number three are crazy critics. To quote Brother Ouellette, two words, avoid them. Avoid them. You see them coming one way, you go the other. Over the years, we've had a number of those type of critics here. They've always had a thought or two or three or four or five or six. Never happy. Enough said. Let's go to number four. The career critic. Remember this. Satan used criticism to win the heart of Eve. And who did she criticize? She criticized Almighty God. See, there are people that have no fear of criticizing any and all. We read in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah the critics that they endured. Judas, I'm sure, was a critic. He was the one that criticized the woman who anointed the feet of Jesus and the head of Jesus. There are always going to be the critics. It never ceases to fail. In the article by Brother Ouellette, he names one that people of my era will well remember, Ralph Nader. Do you remember Ralph Nader? Yes. Nader first made a name for himself when he wrote a book critical of the Chevrolet Corvair entitled Unsafe at Any Speed. And Brother Ed Johnson, who was a deacon here at our church for many years, worked on that very car and said that the book was way off base and full of lies. See, the critic doesn't care about facts. They are just going to criticize. Nader went on to make a career out of criticizing. He criticized businesses, politics, and products that businesses produced. But as far as we know, Ralph Nader never produced anything himself. Never one thing. He spent his life attacking those who were doing something rather than accomplishing something himself. Mark Twain said, few slanderers can stand the wear of silence. People don't like silence. You know how I know? Because if I stand here quiet for the next 30 seconds, it will start to bother you. You'll begin to twitch. You'll begin to look at other people. You'll want someone to say something. Silence bothers people. In one of the Pride and Prejudice movies, a lady said, if I had ever learned to play the piano, I would be quite efficient at it. If I had ever learned. As if she was something because she never learned. There are always those who are critical. One of the hardest things to do when criticized, attacked, verbally lied about is to do and say nothing. Like I've already said twice, facts mean nothing to the career critic. Simply remember Romans chapter 12. Would you turn there, please? Romans chapter 12, we'll begin reading at verse 17. Has been said already, to receive no criticism, do nothing. And then they'll criticize you for doing nothing. But Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So in response, seven things. Go to God in prayer. Go to God in prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll read verses 15 and 16. Yeah, we'll throw 14 in there too. Go to God in prayer. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed under the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Go to God in prayer. Number two, rest in the sovereignty of God. God is in control. Is God in control over the pandemic that's going on right now, or did it catch him off guard? Is he still trying to figure out what to do? No, he knows what's going to happen. And as I've already stated, I don't think we have to worry about COVID-19, and I don't think we have to worry about COVID-20. But I believe when COVID-21 comes down the road, folks, you better be on guard, because they're going to take away everything they can from you, just from what we're seeing happen this time. But rest in the sovereignty of God. God has a plan. He has a plan. Number three, don't retaliate. Don't retaliate. That is the hardest thing, right? When they came for Jesus, he could have called 10,000 angels. And he didn't do it, did he? He was led as a lamb and he was silent. Don't retaliate. Number four, humble yourself before God. Listen to this. If you don't remember anything else I've said tonight, remember this. Be glad you are the one being attacked and not the one attacking. Be glad you are the one being attacked and not the one doing the attacking. So humble yourself before God. Number five, love your family, especially if they're the ones leading the attack. Because I've seen many families turn on each other. What's the number one cause of families turning on one another? Money. Boy, I tell you what, funerals can be amazing things. But love your family. Number six, grow in grace, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. We are created for good works. Don't let others remove your desire to do good. When people are critical of you, remember, be good. Be good. 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. We want to go to God in prayer. We want to rest in the sovereignty of God. We don't want to retaliate. We want to humble ourselves. We want to love our family, and we want to grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Growing grace. And number 7, do not quit. Do not quit. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. Did Paul have critics? There were those who were critical of him because he was in prison. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Did Paul have those who tried to sideline him? Absolutely. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Keep the faith. No matter what's coming at you, keep the faith. Faithful to remain yielded to the Lord's will. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. Who also will do it. Remain yielded to the Lord's will. Be faithful to sustain momentum. My wife and I have walked many a mile back to a waterfall. We've been to waterfalls in Hawaii and Alaska, and we've been to waterfalls in North and South Carolina and Georgia, Pennsylvania, New York, Tennessee, Kentucky, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Can I go on? And we've been to many in Michigan. Absolutely. But along the way, we've trudged many times uphill. Because if you're going to a waterfall, count on it, one way or the other, you're going uphill. Okay? And you that have been to Abrams Falls there in Cates Cove, you know that you go uphill 3 times, you go downhill 3 times. It is going to be that way. I've been there 20 times at least, and they have not straightened out the trail. And one thing I have found, that if you stop, you have to start again. That never fails. Now, my wife and I many times have stopped so that I can give Donna a kiss. She calls it her incentive to keep going. I've told you the story of coming out of a waterfall trail area in Oregon, and we stayed too long, and it was getting dark, and we didn't have a flashlight, which... it was getting dark and I was encouraging to hurry up, everything I did was wrong. And I think I said to you, suck it up. It was getting dark. You don't want to be in the woods in the dark. You don't. And she was nice. She only threw the stick at me. But being that she's a girl, she threw like a girl. You missed. But the fact is, you've got to keep moving in your spiritual walk. If you say, well, I'm just going to rest for a little bit, that's what Satan wants. He wants you to stop. Because he knows if he can get you to stop, there's a good chance you'll never start again. You say, Pastor Paul, how do you know that? 45 years of working in the ministry. 45 years I've seen people stop and never get going again. So faithful to sustain momentum. Almost every minister that I know that has left the ministry prematurely did so because of so-called Christians who were just simply trying to help him. Criticism. Faithful to persevere through trials. In our recent studies from the book of James, we read these two thoughts. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. In chapter 1, verse 2, and then in chapter 5, it says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Endure, folks. Nothing is going to happen to you that did not already happen to Jesus Christ. Endure. And let's close with something that we began with this morning in the morning service, and I'm not sure how I ended up using 1 Peter chapter 1 in both the morning and evening service, but I have. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll begin at verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet rejoicing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Shall we stand together? You know, in our Christian life, we are going to be attacked. It's inevitable. And sometimes it'll be by friends, sometimes it'll be by family, sometimes it'll be by people we don't even know. But let's remember that the Lord is our guide, and he will see it through us. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this time of invitation, we ask, Lord, that your will would be done. Thank you for these who have watched online, and thank you for these that are here. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.